drives you? What drives you? What motivates you to get up in the morning and do what you do? What motivates you to serve the Lord? What motivates you to go to work? What motivates you to, you know, provide for your family? There's a lot of different motivating factors we have in life. Some might be just, you might say, well, I do my schoolwork because if I don't, an authority is going to be on my case and get mad at me if I don't. But you might do it because you don't want to grow up to be ignorant, and you want knowledge. Why do you go to work? Why do you serve in the ministry of the church? Why do you do what you do? Well, this verse says, "For the love of Christ should be enough motivation to do what we do." Dr. Jack Hiles preached a message back in 1995 entitled "The Sin of Being Satisfied." The sin of being satisfied. You know, I think one of the greatest sins now is the sin of apathy in our churches. We just, you know, it's hard to motivate people to do things and get going. But here he preached the message, the sin of apathy. And he said, for every growing venture, whether it's spiritual, religious, or secular, there's a guy somewhere who is never satisfied. And at the head of any church, you know, you're going to have a preacher that is not satisfied with accomplishments that you have made. Always driven and motivated to do more. And that is your preacher. I've been around him enough to know that. There's a guy who when he has been given all, his all, when he has given his all, he wants more all. There's a guy who when he has done his best, wants better best. There's a guy who when he is carrying his load's limit, seeks a bigger load. There's a guy who, when he's doing all that he can do, does more. There's a guy who, when he has done all, gone as far as he can go, goes just a little bit further. There's a guy whom being second is constant irritation to him. There's a guy who's writing the book of ideas that others read, and just motivating factors like that. That's the kind of person I want to be, and I want you to translate this into the spiritual realm because there's a guy that when he wins one soul to Christ just wants to see one more soul saved. And I want to be that kind of driven person for Christ that is just motivated to just do more and more and more, not get satisfied. And our preacher, he tells me often, don't be satisfied by your accomplishments, but be challenged by your commission. Oh, we've done so much. Look, the church is full. We're seeing people saved. There's a whole lost and dying world still out there that need Christ. Don't be satisfied by your accomplishments, but be challenged by your commission. And it is a great commission that we have. So we took that idea of driven, motivated by Christ's love, and adapted that as our theme this year for camp. But I want you to take the second part, the aspect of Christ's love. Love is a very great motivating factor. And when it comes to your Christian life, you can't be a successful soul winner without loving souls. Your preacher told me yesterday about your new outreach to win the business world and bring them gift baskets. What a great opportunity that is. But, you know, those people are going to see love and see care in your eyes and in your face when you deliver those. Jude talks about that, about compassion. And if you go in there just throwing them out and throwing them on the table and leaving, it's not going to make a difference. But if they can see the care and the love of your church, that'll make a difference. You can't be a successful soul winner without loving souls. Ephesians chapter 5 and verse 1 and 2 says, "Be ye therefore followers of God as dear children, and walk in love as Christ also hath loved us, and hath given himself for us, an offering and a sacrifice to God for a sweet-smelling savor." Jesus Christ, God himself and Jesus Christ loved us, and we need to reciprocate that love to others. You can't be a successful preacher without loving people. You can't be a successful Sunday school teacher without loving your students. You can't be a successful missionary without loving the people that God has sent you to. And as the people that send the missionaries, you and I, that send the foreign missionaries, we ought to have a love for the world and a love for people we've never seen. And in Philippines and Ecuador and Brazil and Africa and all around the world, we have to develop a love, just like John 3:16 says. You can't be a successful student of the Bible without loving the Word of God. And everywhere I go and every group of young people, especially that I speak to, I encourage them to fall in love with God's Word. Develop a personal relationship with God of your own, where your preacher and your youth pastor are not just feeding you, but you can now are mature enough to feed yourself spiritually and develop that walk with God. And you can't be a successful Christian without loving the things that Christ loves. Without loving the things that Christ loves. Just on my way here this morning, and this was funny, I passed a church, and on their marquee it said, God loves you, and I'm trying. And no, it wasn't Pastor Castles, although I could see him saying that. God loves you, and I'm trying. I passed that this morning, but that's the truth sometimes. Sometimes it's hard to love the person next to you and the kids that come on the bus and the kids your church reaches and those in the community that you do business with. But that is what God has done for us, and we need to show that love to others to be able to reach the lost and dying world. So we've taken that theme, driven by Christ's love, adapted it towards a racing type theme, bringing it down to the kids' level. And we're going to build up from that with all the games and activities this summer. But we want them to realize the joy of serving the Lord. And that it's not about just serving when people are watching, when your preacher's watching, when your youth pastor's watching. But we want them to realize that, you know, if your motivation is Christ, is the love of Christ and the love that Christ has shown to you, you know, that'll keep you going when no one's watching you, or when things are hard and when no one's encouraging you. That'll keep you going. Just stop and think today of God's love to you and the many blessings he's given to you. Your car, your warm house you live in, the job he's given you, your family. God has richly blessed us. And I was just thinking about that this morning, how much God has given me. And so we'll show this video now, and it'll give you a little idea of the theme for the summer and an overview of the camp. And so you can pray better for the ministry of Cedar River Baptist Camp. Well, we're going to have a great time out there this summer. Also, I just want to highlight a couple of the weeks of camp. In addition to our primary and junior and teen weeks, we also have what's a great time of the summer during in July is a shoot camp for the men. And I know we have a phenomenal time with that during a three-day event in July. And so encourage you to try to get to that. And I can tell you more information about that during after the morning service. And also family camp during the 4th of July. We do a big fireworks show. Pastor Angel's going to be out there. And it's just a great time to get all the family together at the camp. And God's done some amazing things at that week camp. And so please pray for the ministry of the camp, and that God will bless this summer. As I travel around, I travel throughout winter months and present the ministry in churches, and also try to raise support for myself for the ministry. And I depend on that for my financial needs, and I would encourage you, if the Lord will lead, to take me on for support. I would greatly appreciate that. I've determined a long time ago not to worry, but God would provide, and especially little things like money. And I mean that, little things like money. God is big, and God can take care of any issue we have and I have on the road. Just 2 weeks ago, I was in Iowa and traveling west further from home and preaching. And I get up in the morning on a Saturday, and I was 4 hours from home and went to back out of the driveway where I was staying to head to a teen revival. And the reverse went out on my car. And so I had to drive another 3 hours further away from home. And then I preached in a church that next morning, a little north of there. And I had a message prepared, and part of the message, there's a verse in Psalms that talks about fret not. In I think chapter 37, fret not, fear not. You know, God is in control. He knows what's going on. He can handle the matter. And it didn't bother me. The reverse went out of my car. So what? You know, it's better than the forward going out and having to drive backwards the whole way. But here I come to that part of the message, and here I'm thinking to myself, I got to live this right now. I got to say this and mean it, you know? So, and I did, and I briefly went over what I had been through just the day before, and here I'm traveling in a snowstorm, no reverse, watching cars flip over in front of me almost, you know, in the ditch, they're flipped over, and it could be a little scary, but God's in control. He knows what's best. And I drove home that night, and they took care of every bit of the expense of getting my car repaired, every bit of it, that church I was at. God is amazing, and God is good, and he took care of that. It was a big expense, but God took care of that. And I love watching and living by the hand of God, and God's done some amazing things. But if you would pray about that, that would be a great help. And through the necessity of things that need to get paid for, you know, it's just the evil necessity. But I would greatly appreciate you considering that. God's given me some great meetings just recently. I was in a teen revival a couple weeks ago and had a couple of young people saved. And then another service I was at the next morning. And just after a morning service, just many people crying throughout the service. And the Lord moved in a great way. And a young lady came up to me afterwards, a young teenager, and just told me how much the message meant. And come to find out her mom has a crippling arthritis. And just, you never know who's under the sound of your voice and in the message you preach, how that could help. And she was going through a hard time, and I was preaching about trials and how to deal with trials when they come. And Moses said to the people of Israel, as they're about to cross the Red Sea, he said, "Fear not, stand still and see the salvation of the Lord." And it was amazing to see what God did through that one verse and what Moses said. And I want to live that. So God's been giving us some great meetings throughout the wintertime. And please pray. I got to head back this afternoon towards Chicago. And then I leave in the morning for a week of meetings in North Carolina. So I fly out in the morning and then back for another missions conference in Iowa after that. So staying busy, very busy throughout the winter. And then in 2 months, I'll be back at the camp, open things up and get ready for that. And we'll be off to another great summer. And I'm here to tell you, and this is my encouragement before I sit down, that a great day is coming. And I know all you spiritual people are thinking that it's the day of the Lord I'm talking about. That is coming too, but summer is coming too. And pretty soon, you'll be able to take your shoes off and run through the grass. This white stuff is not going to stay around forever. Summer is coming, and we will have camp. And we'll have camp if it's still snowing out. And it might be, but warm winter is coming, and as the winter months or summer months come, please keep the camp in mind and pray for the ministry. The devil works in, just is at work every day there. And it's not a daycare service. It's not where we just watch a bunch of kids. It's ministry, and it's the Lord working in their hearts. And with that, the devil is sure to show up and try to mess things up in many different ways. And so we'd covet your prayers and your support of the ministry. Thank you so much for allowing me to take some time this morning, Pastor Ross. Thank you.